There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, live from the Mobile Convention Center today for the inaugural, and it's not very often you get to say inaugural in a city that's over 300 years old when you get to be at an inaugural event, and I am today for Eco Wild. We'll be down here through 2 o'clock with this show. I tell you what, though, look at the booths. I'll be down here for quite a while afterwards as I get to get out and do what y'all are going to do is tour these great booths and activities at Eco Wild. And if you have questions, just text them in to us, and I can get them answered because the men behind us, Jocko and Stephen Potts, on with me now as we get started. Gentlemen, thanks for having us down here. This is exciting.
Well, thanks for having us.
This is something that we talked about the other day. I know Steve and I talked about the other day on the air, that this is the thing that everybody's always said, you know what, somebody ought to do this.
Right.
You know what, somebody, Steve, man, somebody ought to do this, and then you did this.
Right, and we've taken this on. It's been fun and challenging at the same time, and to see the doors opening up today is really exciting, and we feel like anybody that comes down is going to have a great time. And I mean, we've just, you know, looking around, there's a giant alligator inflatable slide.
That's right. Not as big as the one maybe that shut down traffic at 165 and Water Street yesterday. But, yes, this one you can slide on. Yeah, there's plenty of kid stuff. But there's also all kind of vendors I know and vendors I don't know. That's an interesting mix as I look out here. I'm excited to see people that I know, local folks and local businesses, but some people that I'm not aware of yet.
Right. These like these hunting blinds over here are fine.
They've
I don't
got
know
my
if
attention.
You've been in there yet. But
no, I've been eyeing them, though.
Go visit. Some really cool stuff. You know, all kinds of anything out. If you like outdoors, right, there's something here for you.
You know, and I think about this, too, with if people don't know, so Jocko and Steven, other publications, but the one most of us know here at home is Mobile Bay Magazine. And while y'all talk about all different kind of things, there's always an element, which I love, of the outdoors. Whether it's just, it might not even be a, sometimes it's hunting, sometimes it's fishing, sometimes it's conservation, just enjoying where we are. And I kind of see that reflected in what's happening here at this event, the physical manifestation of that kind of part of y'all's magazine.
Absolutely. I mean, we feel like we have a good idea of what our readers like and what the audience around here likes, like you do. And so, you know, we've got Mason Hills Farms out there cooking. Have you seen his grill?
I have. So Joey's got this new grill, y'all, that's incredible. If you haven't seen it in person, you got to see it. And it's a does he have it going yet?
It's going. He's got two pigs on it.
You'll be able to smell those right now, probably in Spanish Fort. So that'll lead you in here. I think we got a little bit of a west wind today. So we'll be able to check out. That's what I'm saying. So there's people that we know, a lot of us know, like Mason Hills Farms, but some people have heard that name a bunch and never gotten to meet the guy behind it. Like, who's Joey? What's it? You get to see it in person.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, things like the butterfly house, that's. It's interesting.
So
it's
what do you do? What's happening?
Go in there and there's butterflies everywhere, and they're landing on you, and hanging out with butterflies. I know it's weird, but it's cool.
But I can tell you right now, there's several family members of mine that would be down for that.
Right.
As people show up, today is the old, like, you know, say, hey, I'm going to go to lunch and not come back maybe time on Friday. But y'all are, if you can do the family stuff, you said Saturday and Sunday.
Right. And you know, kind of what we've thought about is maybe today come down after work, pick up your kids from school, come down, then this will end at 6, and then go to Art Walk, maybe have dinner somewhere down here, just enjoy what downtown has to offer. Tomorrow we're 10 to 6, and we've got some cool things, dog demos tomorrow. There's a raptor show.
Yeah, kind of give me the – okay, let's give this – talking to parents too, everybody, but talking to parents, like if they're going to come tomorrow as well, kind of what activities can we plan to have the kids doing?
Well, you know, some of them, the rock wall, the slide are here throughout. But
yeah, this rock wall is pretty cool.
I know. Are you going to get on it?
Yeah, I think I am, actually. Yeah.
Good. But, you know, 11 o'clock, we're going to have a raptor show. Bellingrath is putting on some more nature-inspired STEM challenges. We've got – these dog demos are going to be great. They've actually got Waller Canine has my dog. He's a Brittany.
Okay.
His name is Jack-Jack Mohawk.
Jack-Jack Mohawk?
Yes.
Well, I think I just saw him. Yeah. He's pretty slim.
Right.
Slim Brittany. I saw him come by a second ago. Yeah.
And so, anyway, we've got all kinds of things all throughout the weekend. And then Sunday, you know, we may have talked about this.
Yes.
Make it Mother's Day, family outing, or Dad, give Mom a break and bring the kids down here. This will entertain them, and you'll have a good time. And kids 8 and under are free. You can buy tickets at the door or online.
And online, just where they go?
EcoWildExpo.com.
Okay, to get them there. But, yeah, like you and I talked about the other day, it is Mobile. We like to, you know, walk up and buy our tickets. Heck, we hate to plan anything more than about half a day ahead of time. So people can go ahead and, if they haven't gotten them yet and they didn't, they could walk up here today and buy their tickets.
That's correct. We've also got a really cool art gallery. And I'm not an art guy, but
right?
Sophiella has put together some wildlife art. It's incredible in there, and you, it's nice stuff. You got to come see it.
That's going to be dangerous for me because I love wildlife art. Well, that's going to be you're going to hear me coming on that.
Yeah,
one.
It's great. We have some great speakers. You know, Dr. Sean Powers from South is going to come talk, and he's just phenomenal.
Y'all want to hear it? Yeah, I want to hear about that great white shark. Is everybody right. Talking? So he's So I know they're here. I mean, the combination of USA Marine Sciences, the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. I mean,
they've been great, too. Chris Blankenship and Billy Pope, they've been great.
We can't say enough about them. They've been a huge, just a huge supporter, and they've participated and really helped us put this show together. They've been terrific.
Because they were the kind of people like me that's been saying, hey, when's somebody going to do this?
Right.
And y'all stepped up and did this. And it's a great thing. So it is the inaugural. Like I said, it's not often you get to talk about being an inaugural event, but this is the start of something great, and we're pretty darn happy we're here. So thank you.
I will say we saw it. There's an event in Charleston, South Carolina that we've kind of used as a model, and their event has been going on for 40 years. And,
okay.
This, of course, is our first step, but we're aiming for that.
There you go. So, we're here at the beginning of it, and it's exciting. Y'all come on out and check it out. Thanks for having us out. We're coming right back with more Midday Mobile. We are live at EcoWild at the Convention Center. It's going on throughout the weekend. Coming in next, joining us to talk about what was a big day in Montgomery yesterday, Representative District 96, Matt Simpson, next on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you along. And yeah, we are live at the Mobile Convention Center. This is something brand new. The Eco Wild Outdoor Expo goes on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Hopefully you get a chance to come on by and see us today. And if not, see us over the weekend down here. And yeah, we're going to start working on my buddy Joey Mason from Mason Hills Farm. He's got the big cooker out there. He's got some pigs in there that are getting just right. So we'll probably be grabbing some lunch. You can do the same thing when you stop by and see us. All right, y'all say hello. I'm happy always to get this guy on the show, but knowing what yesterday was like to have Representative District 96 Matt Simpson sitting in with us is a good thing. What a day.
Invite me. This is awesome. I had no clue this was out here, but had a chance this morning to walk around and see some of the things they've got. They've got real catfish. They've got axe throwing.
The axe throwing is right here by us too, y'all. They're like if you hear a thwunk while we're talking, there are people slinging axes right by us. Maybe y'all think you should have had that in the legislature yesterday?
I can guarantee you that would not have gone well in the legislature yesterday.
Oh my gosh! So, Sinodive, we're finished with it, but what did get done, what didn't get done. We'll get to gambling. I know that everybody wants to talk about that. But first of all, something that you're always good about talking to me before session when you pre-file or you're looking at bills, and we start tracking them. You come on the air early in session and talk about them. I think you and I have talked twice about the ethics bill on the show, and I've had many other guests on talking about you and the ethics bill. I got to tell you, I was real surprised that this didn't make it through.
You know, this has always been a multi-year plan. You know, from the beginning, the bill didn't go into effect until 2025.
Right.
I'm not one to stop and say, no, we were only going to do this to get through the House, to start the conversation. I wanted the bill to pass this year. I'm not going to lie. I was hopeful the bill would pass this year. But, you know, something this big takes a long time.
But even if it doesn't pass, what? And maybe this goes back to the seemingly tortured relationship going on right now between the House and the Senate. But I don't know, like that you have this bill, but you didn't have, it goes through a committee, comes up, but to have a senator carry it, why can't we find a senator that wants to carry this bill?
Well, we got one. We've got Sam Gavan has carried it.
Oh, okay.
He carried it in the Senate this time. He put a lot of work into it, put a lot of effort into it. There was some communication that we had had early, beginning even last year, last summer, before when we started talking about the ethics bill. There was a senator that wanted to carry it and wanted to go through the process and do it. And just as things come up and as things happen, there was a miscommunication between what senator wanted to carry it. So it sat there for a minute, and Sam Gavan picked up the ball and ran with it. And, like I said, everybody wanted some input in it. It's not something that you can explain in an eight-second soundbite where people can say, this is what you want to do. So it takes me, and I'm terrible at that to begin with. I'm one that I will talk all day, and if you give me 15 minutes, I'll take 20.
Right.
But, I can't
narrow it down.
Well,
it's necessary with this, though, because there's so many things that go into it. It's not just like we're changing this one thing.
It's so easy to turn up and say, well, this is tightening the ethics law, or this is weakening the ethics law. And, that's the soundbite that people were coming against. They were saying, this weakens the ethics in Alabama. There couldn't be anything further from the truth, in my opinion, for what we were trying to do and what the goal is and what we're trying to do from this bill. We just tried to say, these are what the lines are. These are where you can and can't go. So many people are saying, well, it makes things that are illegal now that they will be legal under this new bill. Well, they're things that people aren't prosecuting for anyway. There's nobody being prosecuted for a $35 lunch, but a $35 lunch is against the law.
So why have it as law?
Why have it as law? If you're not going to enforce it, what happens when you don't enforce laws, then people just push a little further. Okay, well, you're not enforcing $35. Well, you're going to enforce $45. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to enforce $50. Well, where's the line you're going to draw? Well, if you're not drawing the line anywhere, that's the nature of people. That's not politicians. That's
Just
the
humans.
Nature of humans to come in and say, if you don't tell me where the lines are, if you're not prosecuting, I'm going to see how far I can get away with it. And you've got things that come into effect. Like, I was walking around earlier today. My father-in-law is here. He's a vendor at one of the things here. And you talk about some of the laws and how they affect people. If somebody takes my father-in-law out to lunch, but that could be an ethics violation that I would be punished for, that I would be facing a Class B felony, because someone took my father-in-law out to lunch. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's nonsense as far as, the laws are as they are written are. If it's an intentional violation, it's a Class B felony. If it's an unintentional violation, it's a Class A misdemeanor. There's nothing to talk about intent. Like, there's nothing to say, did you have the mens rea necessary to have this commit this offense?
Right.
Were you going out with the intent of committing a crime, or did you know this was going to be something? No, it's just one of those things of, did this happen? If this happened, then we're going after you. And that's not right.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost like a zero tolerance policies for, like, businesses and schools sometimes that I think are ham-fisted, don't see nuance. Like, you'd never do this thing without any. In this, do you think that has existed this way for a long time to keep them from having to make any nuanced decision about it, or make it easier, right? If you can't take your father-in-law to eat, that gets you in trouble, then that's cut and dry, and then we don't have to investigate it. We don't have to. I mean, it seems like it's maybe lazy.
lazy is an interesting word. Lazy is something that has been brought up. You know, one of the conversations that we had, you know, the people with the AG's office specifically, the AG's office said, this law takes away leverage. We can't leverage other offenses against someone to try to get them for what we're going after.
Well, explain that, because you're a prosecutor, right? Explain that to me.
So if they come up, and these laws are very difficult to follow. These laws are very difficult to understand. They're very difficult. They're so vast and difficult to understand. But what they'll do is they'll say, well, you violated X, Y, and Z. We're going to charge you with X, Y, Z, also A, B, C, D, and E. But we'll nolpros A, B, C, D, and E, you know, the big stuff. We'll get rid of the big stuff if you plead a Y. And if you plead a Y, then you can go to, you know, we'll take care of this. And that's just not the right way to go. There's some instances that they had specifically where the Ethics Commission would say, you know, Y is a crime and you're looking at 20 years in prison. But if you plead to A, we'll just make you pay a fine on A. And so if you pay a fine on A, you'll go right back to doing your job. Nobody will know what happened. Everything will be good to go. That's extortion in my mind.
Yeah.
That's not the way to prosecute people. That's not the way to run the Ethics Commission. That's not the way to run ethics prosecutions. You want people to know these are what you can and can't do. If you cross that line, if you go beyond what you can do, then we're coming for you, and we're coming after you, and we're coming hard after you. And that's perfectly fine by me. I think there should be prosecutions. These are people that are given the public trust. They should be high sanctions and high punishments and high things to go after people that violate the public trust. But you have to figure out, okay, is this something that's a bad? Is this a you're using your office for personal gain? Is this a you sold your vote for a bribe? Is this the things that send people to prison? Send them to prison. Or is this something of a you didn't, you know, we got to talk about the Stan McDonald thing.
Yeah.
The Stan McDonald goes in the air and he doesn't realize that he can't make campaign contributions.
Yeah, when he's sitting on the Ethics Commission. Yeah.
So that's a Class B felony because he's intentionally made a campaign contribution. Mm-hmm. That's not right. It shouldn't be a Class B felony for something. There's a list. There should be a list of things.
So what the representative's talking about, if y'all didn't hear, you can go back and listen to the podcast. Here's a person who is on the commission who says something that is against the ethics law. So, I mean, it's you know, if the officer doesn't know what the law is, how's a citizen supposed to know, right?
Yeah, and I will say he is no longer on the Ethics Commission.
That's right.
Because
he
of that interview.
Out. Yes,
but,
yes. But.
You know, it's one of those things. Of, you just want people to know what you can and can't do. When the law was written in 2010, and this is what nobody goes back to, the law was written in 2010. It was after the election. So we had the Republican legislature come in November of 2010.
Okay.
All right. The governor doesn't come in until January of 2011. So there was this brief window when Governor Riley was still governor, and this is the only window that he had a Republican legislature.
Okay.
This was before Governor-elect Bentley took office in January.
Okay.
So they called a special session during this time. If you remember in the campaign 2010, the handshake with Alabama, ethics was one of the five fingers of the handshake with Alabama. So they called the legislature in 2010 to give Riley a feather in his cap and say, you're responsible for getting this stuff
done. This is your legacy.
We're going to give you ethics.
Yeah.
But it wasn't vetted. It was a midnight pass process. It was very, very quickly done. Nobody saw what was going on. It was behind the scenes negotiations and topics. It wasn't done out in the open. And so they passed the law. And then after they passed the law, people were like, okay, now let's tell you what you did. And people were like, oh my gosh, we've got to fix that. You hear
but we do that
stories.
Too much, Representative. I don't know other states, maybe they feel the same way, but I'm an Alabamian. So we do that too much. Like we pass something and then we're right back to like a remediation on it. It's like, we don't think, heck, fourth order. We don't think second and third order of actions of the things in a law.
It's the old Pelosi. You have to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
It's terrible. It's not good government. It's not good for people to trust the government. It's not good for people to look and actually vet this bill. I will tell you, this bill has been vetted more than any bill that I've ever worked on. We released a draft to the public. Mm-hmm. Not a bill, a draft to let them come at it, critique it. Hey, tell me what your holes are. Some people poke some holes in it. We fixed the holes. We fixed it through there. Then we put another. Then we put a version of the bill out that was originally filed. Some people on the committee wanted some issues fixed. We fixed some of the stuff there. We then put a substitute out before it went to the floor. Every step along the way, we've taken input from people that were even against the bill. We took their input and advice and said, what can make this bill stronger? I get that you don't like it. I get, Mr. Attorney General, you don't like this bill.
Right.
What can we do to make it better?
When we come back, I want to talk about that. Our guest, he is live with us here at the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo at the Convention Center, Representative Matt Simpson, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. It is Midday Mobile live from the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo at the Mobile Convention Center, the inaugural. Representative Matt Simpson, our guest. Like you said, this is good. This is something new. It's rare. You know, growing up here in a city well over 300 years old, that we say this is the first whatever, but this is the first. This, I think, it's going to be good.
You know, I don't know if it was a viral marketing campaign that they had the alligator loose in downtown Mobile yesterday.
But there it is, right there, the inflatable alligators. Yeah, that's. I said that yesterday. I said maybe they could have let that gator come in here and gotten the attention. Did that shut down at some point in the legislative session yesterday to say, listen, I know we have a lot of bills we're looking at here, but there's an alligator in Mobile that's on the roadway, so everybody's going to stop and talk about it. So we're talking about the ethics bill, and you said it's a multi-year process. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so I'm going to ask something. I won't even look at the text line. I'll just ask, why does it have to be a multi-year process? Why can't y'all get this done now? I mean, if ethics are that important, why can't y'all agree on something and get it done?
I'm with you. I would love to get it done this year. One thing that we were able to do, what we ran into was, you know, the Attorney General was against the bill, the Ethics Commission was against the
and
bill.
And his angle was, so what he was what? He said, the prosecutions and you're taking it.
Long story short, what I honestly believe is the Attorney General thought that this made it more difficult to prosecute other cases because they couldn't have stacked charges on top of charges on top of charges. Also think we got into a little bit of a turf war where the Ethics Commission thinks that this gives too much power to the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General thinks it still gives too much power to the Ethics Commission.
Right.
So they're, you know, I'm really stand by the belief that I'm the only person in Alabama that can get Tom Allbritton and Steve Marshall to agree on anything. But, you know, so what we've done, and one of the things that we did, you know, after the bill failed in committee on Wednesday. It failed in committee. So immediately we went down that same day and passed a resolution. And what that resolution is going to do is we're going to get somebody from outside the state of Alabama. We've given our legislative services agency the ability to hire or retain the services of somebody from outside Alabama that's going to be nationally renowned on ethics.
Okay.
We're going to look at what the other 49 states are doing.
Wow, this is something. This is novel. Okay.
We're going to look at what the other 49 states are doing. We're going to look at what the federal government is doing. And we're going to step back and say, okay, this is not a personalities issue. This isn't a Matt Simpson bill. This isn't a House bill versus a Senate bill. It's not an AG bill versus a Senate or versus an Ethics Commission bill. This is going to be a bill. Everybody knows there's problems with our ethics laws in Alabama. You've seen a report after report from task force, mm-hmm. from criminal appeals opinions, from Supreme Court opinions. Everybody that's looked at this says, man, these laws are jacked up. So if you don't want to give credit to somebody, if you don't want to look like you're playing in somebody else's sandbox, let's get somebody from outside that is a nationally renowned expert on ethics. Mm-hmm. Let them come in and look at our laws. Let them say, yeah, this is messed up. This is what y'all should do. So that way you're not getting into the AG has the power to push a bill through the House or the AG has the power to stop a bill in the Senate. No. Find out what the problem is, fix the problem.
Now, do you think the challenge will be they'll come back and hear the problems with it? You still have to get it through the legislative process.
I do, but I've gotten such an overwhelming response. You know, I can't thank Senator Gavan enough for his efforts. He put a monster load of time into this. You know, I've been putting in for about 15 months. He put in, you know, these last few weeks, he's really been nonstop looking at it and going like, okay, this is why you did this. Okay, I see. So mm-hmm. We've had a number of senators that have reached out that said, look, we just needed more time. You know, the AG's office gets up in the public hearing and says, now is just not the time. We need more time. So, fine. Here's time.
Take that excuse away from it.
Now let's fix the problem. This isn't something where I did not want to drop something on people and say, hey, we're at 11:59 and on sunny die night, let's throw the ethics bill through there. No, that's not the way it should be. Vet.
And the thing is, I agree with vet, but I would love to see this. I mean, you have this stuff filed early on.
Mm-hmm.
I know the reasons for it, but let me play naive for a second. I sure would like for this stuff to be taken up at the beginning of session, maybe like when gambling was or something like that, you know?
I mean, you know, I will tell you this. I cannot thank Speaker Ledbetter enough. Speaker Ledbetter has been so kind as far as what do you need? You know, He's taking the mindset, I'm so happy to serve in the House. He's taking the position of, we've come to him with issues and say, I'd like to go address this issue. I'd like to look, ethics is something that I think there's a problem. I'd like to go try to fix this problem. Okay, Matt, what do you need? What can I do to help you flourish to make you be able to succeed in getting the ethics bill done? It's the same thing that he did with gambling. We'll have to talk about gambling this aspect. You have Chris Blackshear, Andy Witt, Sam Jones, you know, Chip Brown was involved in some of this stuff down here. He's taken a number of people that have said, there's a problem in Alabama. We'd like to be able to address this problem. And we're all young. I'll tell you, we're all relatively young. Chris Blackshear, you know, I think he was 20, class of 2014. Sam Jones came with I in 2018. Andy Witt came with me in 2018. Chip Brown came with me in 2018. So we haven't been jaded by the process of Montgomery where you say, no, you can never get that passed.
That'll
never happen. Gaming will never happen. No ethics will never happen. No, it takes. We're of the mindset
that
of.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, we're of the mindset of, hey, man, why not? Why not go try to fix a problem? And it's ambitious. And it's ambitious for us to say, you know what? We're going to take on all of these issues, and we're not going to run from it. We're going to take up a task. We're going to put our mind to it. We're going to put the effort in and even work in the off season. If it means we're up in Montgomery for all year long, then that means that's what we got to do to get the right bill through. And that's what the speaker has done. And that's why people in the House are so honored to serve with him, because it's not a situation of you do this or you're going to vote the way I tell you or you're going to do this. No, he's of the mindset, I'm going to power the people to give them the opportunities to serve in the way that they want to serve. If you have an issue that matters to you, what can the House do to help you accomplish what you're looking for to get this issue done?
I never thought it would even work like that, but I thought it would be the inverse, right?
It's amazing. I can't speak highly enough for Speaker Ledbetter through this process. You know, it's not a leadership of, I really want to make sure I get a good office, or I really want to make sure I have a chairmanship, or I really want. No, it's a leadership of, it doesn't matter what you've got. We've got some freshmen, some brand new freshmen that are taking up the issue, that are working hard on the IVF issue to solve the IVF concerns, because that's what they care about through this process. And it's so great to see, because if you're passionate about what you're doing, if you're not going up there just to push a button, if you're not going up there just to say, okay, well, the speaker voted green, so I have to push the green button, that's not what we do. That's not how it gets done. It goes up there to say, let's make a difference, man. Let's not waste. We're not going up there just to get reelected. Look, if I get sent home in 2026, if the people of Alabama say, I don't want you to be your representative in District 96 anymore, that's fine, but I'm going to go out on my terms. I'm going to go out saying, I fought for something that I believed in. I voted the way that I believed. I did what I wanted to do. And that's what I love about serving in the House.
But let's talk about the things that might. Looking at this yesterday, so this is not, you know, where these big bills like your ethics bill and all that, people understand there are bills that are still important, but they don't have the handles on them that some of these others do. And it was a discussion here about an economic zone. Help me with the, you know.
It's a community improvement district Spanish Fort.
Community improvement district in Spanish Fort. Right. This is a kind of a, this is stuff that also goes through the legislature, the way things are done in the state, right? Things go through Montgomery. So this bill was specifically really just for the area around Spanish Fort, right?
It's a statewide bill. The city of Spanish Fort wanted to add something to be able to get some more for Spanish Fort. In order to do that, they had to amend a bill that was already this community improvement district is already a cooperative district. It's already there.
Okay.
They just needed to amend some stuff to allow a transfer of property to be able to come in if it was voluntarily, to allow some of the fees to be used for infrastructure. You know, the Eastern Shore Center needs some infrastructure improvements through that process. And so this is something the mayor had said, you know, anytime a bill gets, you get late in session, there's always there's gamesmanship that are going to be played. I hate the gamesmanship, not a fan of the gamesmanship.
But it was on display yesterday. It was like the world gamesmanship.
It's the nature of it. But sometimes, you know, and Chris Blackshear, he's a good friend. And you know,
But if people don't know and don't know what happened, so he was, this is a bill, this is, okay, you can correct me here, but in my world, in the fourth estate here, right, that we think that this was straight up, this bill that was in the Senate, Senator Chris Elliott supported this bill. The punishment was doled out in the House on you because this would get back to Senator Elliott, who did not vote how they wanted on gambling.
I don't think that's a correct assessment.
Okay.
I don't believe that this had anything to do with a single vote. They don't care. There's a lot of people that don't care about how you vote. It's not a, oh my gosh, this person voted no, so that means I have to do this. That's not how things are really done. You know, there may be some that do that, but that's not the nature of this. Now, there are things that people, personality conflicts that would cause an issue. That's more of a personality issue than it is a singular vote issue. So this wasn't a, we're going to punish Senator Elliott because of his vote on gaming. This was just a personality conflict. And, you know, at some point you have to say, look, guys, I understand the personality issues, but at the end of the day, this is important for Spanish Forts and it's important for my district, so that means I'm going to fight for it.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, saying people are human beings, maybe there's not the ability to decouple the personality from the bill.
Sometimes I would hope a statesman would.
I hope that my, you know, my sworn enemy in my personal life could be bringing a bill that's good for Alabama, and I would say, yeah, that's a good bill for Alabama. I'll vote for it.
Yeah, and that's what happened. You know, the bill passed 89 to nothing. Chris Blackshear voted for it, but sometimes there's an opportunity when you get towards the end of session. Tensions get high. People start looking at what's going on, and it becomes one of those things of, hey, we got a chance to go to the microphone. Let's go to the microphone for a minute. But I talked to Representative Blackshear. I knew what was coming. We had had the conversation. He knew he was going to vote yes on the bill. It's just a...
Okay. We'll come back. This is some real inside politics and politics of baseball, or the baseball of politics, with Representative Matt Simpson. We are live at the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. We'll be here till 2. I'll be here much longer. And throughout the weekend, they got doors open Saturday and Sunday. Come check it out at the Convention Center.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and this is Midday Mobile on location at the Mobile Convention Center. Let me say this. We are here for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo, and there's plenty of things to see. There's also plenty of things to purchase. So let me give a plug for my buddy Trey Bennett with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Before you bring home, I'm looking right now at a compact tractor. I'm looking at a shooting house, y'all, that's bigger than my first apartment. I'm looking at all kind of cool off-road coolers. I'm looking at all kind of fishing supplies. In other words, you'll need to get rid of some junk before you bring home the next load of goodies, things you got to have to the house. So make that appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it could be stuff inside your house, could be around the house, could be the backyard. Trey always says, you know, people think about us getting like boxes out of storage units and stuff out of houses. He said, but dude, we get the big trampolines, above ground pools, storage buildings, all that stuff that people want gone. We can handle that as well. So whatever it is, it's boxes in the garage that you one day hope you're aspirational to put a car into, or a storage unit you need to get cleaned out, or maybe that big above ground pool in the backyard that you're not using anymore. If you've got junk, you want it gone, use my friend Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He's been doing it for 16 plus years. You can make that appointment. It's a good old fashioned appointment too, like a specific day and a specific time of day. It's refreshing. You can make that appointment by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and give them a call. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, the name is the number. All right, continue our conversation with Representative Matt Simpson, fresh off the 2024 legislative tour with dates in Montgomery and Montgomery and Montgomery. But I think like a concert here. Sure, we should put all y'all's days and just say Montgomery, Alabama, Montgomery.
And this was a long session. I feel like the beginning of February.
But y'all had like two spring breaks or something. They broke it up. Weird.
It was weird. They had a constituent work week in the middle and then a spring break. And I mean, it was just a long session. It felt like February feels like 3 years.
Because people
are
saying you only have a certain number of legislative days. How can it be long?
Right. We have 105 calendar days, and in those 105 calendar days, we have 30 legislative days that we have to do. But, you know, so much of the stuff is not just what happens on the floor. It's what happens before you get to the floor. It's what happens in committee. It's what happens well before it even gets to committee. Look, if you're arguing a bill on the floor, you've already missed your opportunity on trying to fix some of this stuff. You got to get this done when the seeds are planted on trying to fix
this
stuff.
Yeah, tell me real stuff. Okay, this is real stuff. Like, that work is done. I want you to tell, like, what those of us who watch this, that what we see on the floor, the real changes aren't being made then.
You know, every once in a while, you will have some amendments come up or you'll have some stuff come through. But generally, everybody comes to. If you're saying, hey, I'm for instance, ethics bill. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to work on the ethics bill and they have some issues with the ethics bill, we talk about it before it's in committee. We talk about it. If somebody on the committee has some changes they want to fix, then we'll either fix it in committee or fix it right after. But, you don't come up on the floor because there's so much work that's been put into a bill, and some small amendment could kind of, you pull a string and pull the thread and right. unravel yeah. the whole yes. thing. So a lot of times, people will go into Montgomery and people sit in the gallery and they'll see, wow, that is nuts. There's like two people at the podium, but then there's 15 other conversations going on the floor through all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, the two people at the podium are talking about the bill that's currently on there. The other 15 conversations are either about bills that are on the calendar later or on the calendar next week, right. not even on that calendar that day. So there's just a lot of work that gets done. And it's relationships. It's the ability to go to somebody on the floor and say, hey, I see you working on this stuff. I've had a chance to read your bill. What do you think about this? And they're much more amenable to saying, hey, yeah, let's work on that. Let's see if we can fix that issue now before you get to the podium. Because if you get to the podium, you don't have a clue what somebody's going to come to the microphone and say.
Right,
so,
right.
You kind of earn that trust. You kind of earn that respect of, I'm not trying to embarrass somebody at the podium. There's not really a gotcha moment. I've had those moments. Sometimes Chris England and I get into it, and we go pretty hard. Chris is one of my best friends, Representative England. We disagree on so much. He's one of the lead Democrats in the state, and we disagree on policy on so much. But we get off policy, and we go out and talk all this stuff through. It's just great. I mean, that's the way I enjoy it.
It should be. I'm going to ask this because we've got about 6 minutes left here. And so we talk about the gambling. You early on talked about gambling with us. We're talking about it now that it didn't happen. Another year, of course, the governor saying she won't call a special because why would she? Actually, I think that makes sense. What votes would change if she called a special? But this texter here, Mr. Valentine, says, and I'm going to read this because I get this kind of stuff a lot. Now I have somebody who actually gets to vote hearing it. We should be able to just vote. This Mr. Valentine, we should be able to just vote on lotto. No scratch-offs, no machines, no extra BS. Why can't – I mean, this is in the frequently asked questions I run through in the show all the time, so you get to do it now. Why can't we just have a lotto?
Okay. The problem – I don't know about a lotto without scratch-offs to be there. I think you kind of have to scratch-offs through all this stuff that what you're looking at.
By the way, if you want to have something hot for next year, my idea for the scratch-offs is for prison build, and you make it like a jailbreak game on the scratch-off, and you scratch-off to get out of the prison, and that money all goes to build.
Nice.
Okay. So go ahead. Yes.
There's a concern, and I think a lot of it has to do with, as everything will be in Montgomery, is money. So there is a concern that if we vote to go from zero gaming to lottery, if we take that step up and go to a lottery, there is a concern that that would allow existing gaming establishments, for instance, the Porch Creek Indians, who have their reservation, who has the compact, that would allow them to potentially take a bump up in gaming as well. So if they take a bump up from going from slot machines to table
because
games.
Because it's through federal.
It's the federal discussion.
Because it's a sovereign land. It's not the
state. It's not the state.
Yeah.
The state can agree to negotiate with them.
But there's something, like you're saying here, that right now they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if the state makes a move, then through their relationship with the feds, they can go to the next.
There's potential that they could go to the next level.
Okay.
And if they go to that next level, we won't have any income, any tax, anything through that.
Because it's on sovereign land.
It's on sovereign land. The state won't have any benefits from that. So there is the potential of, the Porch Creek is saying, we would love to go to table games. We're fine giving you guys a cut. We're fine giving the state a cut.
If you can do this to make it so we have table games, y'all can
get a
rake.
Cut. Yeah. Yes, you can get a rake of what we're coming through here. And that's what the state's looking at, is saying, we don't want, there's a concern of if we bump up, then we're missing on hundreds of millions of dollars that would not be coming into the state budget. So,
it's a personal argument, but it's not coming in now.
I know.
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Look, I get it. I voted yes in 2019. I would have voted yes in 2021, and I voted yes in 2024. I've been consistent all the way across. I'm not a gambler. I'm not one that's going to go to the casinos and go there. I just don't like Montgomery telling the people in my district what they can and can't do. I wouldn't like it if Washington came down here and told us what we can and can't do in Alabama. So if this is an opportunity just to let the people vote, let the people's voice be heard. The last vote we had was 1999. I was 19 years old.
Right.
There's an entire generation that's been changed since 1999 to have the vote. So, let the people just vote it up and down. And I'll tell you, be honest with you, Sean, if it would have came up on the ballot in November, I'm voting no in November.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to vote no in March to tell people that they can't vote no in November.
Right. But my issue with it, I don't have, obviously, the position to vote on it. But mine is, I'm pretty agnostic on it. I tell folks, I'm not against it, but I'm not, I don't gamble. I don't have a dog in the hunt. I mean, but just saying, well, we got to vote on something. I just wonder, to me, just not, doesn't seem like the best bill that it could have been.
You know,
and not even, not being silly, I know there's compromise, but it seems like it's just like we can do better even with compromise.
You know, there's so many different aspects of who's coming to the table and what people are bringing. You know, this was a bill that the Farmers Association at Alpha was against, the Porch Bandit Creek Indians was against, Alabama Policy Institute was against. There's so many people. You know, you take the overwhelming, if people talk about special interest for gaming, you know, if you start stacking up who's who and what's what, you know, I think what Representative Blackshear and what this group tried to do was take the special interest out of it and not have a say so much in, well, we ceded this point. It was just a group of legislators that came together that said, what if we did it this way?
Okay.
And I mean, it was a homegrown grassroots bill. So are you saying it could have been better? I'm not disagreeing with you that it could have been better, because it wasn't written by special interest. It wasn't written by a gaming interest. It wasn't written by pro-gaming or anti-gaming. It was written by a bunch of legislators that came together and said, we want to fix this problem.
Good deal. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your frankness. Representative Simpson, get some rest.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. We are live at the EcoWild Outdoor Expo at the Mobile Convention Center. Come see us.